Good morning, everyone. I don't know, it seemed like it was a long week, and I could hardly wait to get here this morning. I want us to listen very carefully this morning. I think I have a timely message. The title is God's Unfolding Plan. I want to begin by reading Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it." I want to pose a question for you to think about this morning as I begin. Could God have a purpose in all that is taking place in our world today? Remember, he is God, and he knows the beginning from the ending. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He is God Almighty, the all-knowing, all-seeing creator of everything seen, and as yet, we have not yet seen. So is what we see today the unfolding of God's divine plan? Could this be the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy? I know we all know this, but I want to read it again. Joel 2, 28 through 32. God's Spirit poured out. "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, God knew from the beginning of time that he would send his son Jesus to die for fallen mankind, even before sin entered the world. He knew all about the conditions his creation would be in, even before he instructed Noah to build the ark. He knew what would be in Judas's heart, even before Judas had that first thought of betraying Jesus. You know, we could think of example after example of God not being surprised about what was about to happen. All of this is because of God's foreknowledge, not man, being predestined. Because, you know, a lot of people, the gal that I met on our cruise, she was all tied up with predestination. But the fact of the matter, God has given us free will. And, you know, yes, God knows what we're going to choose. But we have that choice, how we're going to conduct our life. God knew this day would come where everything seems to be falling apart. Now, I want us to look at Isaiah 54, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, it says, "Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy." Verse 17, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." Oh, how we love to quote verse 17, because it says that no weapon, no word spoken against us is going to harm us. But if you're like me, verse 16 is a little harder to understand, telling us that God created the spoiler to destroy. Well, I was reading Barnes' notes concerning verse 16, and Albert Barnes was a theologian, lived back in the 1800s, and this is some of what he wrote. "The sense in this verse is that everything that can affect your welfare is under God's control. The blacksmith who manufactures the instruments of war or of torture is still under him. His life, his strength, his skills are all in God's hands, and he can do nothing which God shall not deem it best to permit him to do so." So it is with the enemy of the church himself, the spoiler who destroys. God made him, and he is wholly under his control and at his disposal. The sense here is that all such conquerors are under God's control. They could accomplish no more than he permitted them to do. So it was in the case of Job. You know, remember Job in chapter 1. God began to brag on Job. Verses 8 through 12. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job?'" Don't you wish or hope that God doesn't say your name about it this time? "Don't brag on me, Lord. But have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And we know the rest of the story, the suffering of Job, and then the restoration of everything that was taken. What is important here for us to understand is that God was still in control despite what it looked like. As we approach what I believe started on April 8th and will change things in the days, the weeks, the months, for however long that may be, only God knows. Only a fool would predict such a time. But we know things are changing. Anyway, there are certain lessons that we can take away from Job. His suffering, you know, the abandonment from friends and family members. Remember the friends, you know, curse God and die. Loss of his wealth, physical, mental, and emotional devastation. I believe these might be common among believers even in our lifetime. This is because Satan will try everything to stop believers from obeying the word. And we know the word is the only place that our help and our strength is going to come from. God knows how everything is going to be played out. You know, that's His foreknowledge. But I want to go back to how we were given free will to choose how to respond when things begin to take place. And we may not be able to understand what it is that we're seeing, what it is that we may be living through. Well, I believe God has been preparing a people for this very hour. Overcomers who have counted the cost and said yes to the Lord. I want to make it personal here for a minute with what happened to me. Shortly after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was before the Lord praying, and God spoke to my heart, and He said that unless I forgave Russ, then I could go no further in my walk with Him. I honestly didn't realize that I even had unforgiveness, but I took God at His word, and I called. We made arrangements to meet for Russ for lunch, and I asked Him to forgive me, and He was surprised that I would ask Him forgiveness, because He said He was the one to ask me to forgive Him. And really, it was an awkward lunch, but I obeyed what God put in my heart. And you know, that was all the way back in 1976. And only God knew what the future held for the two of us in 2015. Some 38 years later. But see, it was that first step in obedience that set everything else in motion. Now, I thought this was very unusual. I'm typing this out, and I get a ding on my phone, and it's a text from our neighbor, Zach. And I want you to listen to this simple little thing that he sent. Sometimes God takes you on a journey you didn't know you needed to bring you everything you ever wanted. Trust the plan. Just as I'm doing this, I get this text. Sometimes God takes you on a journey you didn't know you needed to bring everything you ever wanted. Trust the plan. God has a plan that is unfolding right now. Well, and so those 38 years, it was during those years when God began to teach me about an end-time walk, for He explained to me the spiritual arc and the importance of intercessory prayer, and He began to use men to prophesy over me as we were in meetings about how God would use me in the last days, all of which led me to enroll in Bible college and all of that. But this all took place because of free will, and I chose to obey God. Have I always obeyed? Sadly, no. But thank God for His sweet forgiveness. Do you hear God calling you to get serious with Him and learn how to truly praise and worship Him, even in hard times? Because I'm here to tell you, hard times are coming. But along with that, a move of God is on its way. I long for it. Is that in your hearts this morning? Do you long for that move of God? I pray for it. We know this scripture. If my people, see, it hinges on us. Yes, God has a plan, but we are a part of that plan. I sense it. Don't you sense it? It's about to happen. You know, I believe it will sweep over people like in the days of old that we've only read about in the book of Acts. But remember, the book of Acts is still being written. I don't know how many of you over the Easter holiday, we watched a lot of the old movies, you know, and a comment Russ made, he said, wouldn't it have been something to live in that day and time? And I said, hang on, because we're in for the ride of our life. Are you ready? If not, find that altar of sacrifice and lay it all down. And God will raise it up in power to be used for His glory. Because I believe revival is at the door. It's that third great awakening that we have prayed for, earnestly prayed for. And God's kingdom will be enlarged because of Holy Ghost believers moving in that power. And isn't this the time that the church triumphant must be revealed? Let me end with Romans 8, verses 18 and 19. For I consider that the suffering of this present time, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earth, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing, the manifestation of the sons of God. So church, let's take our rightful place. Amen.